Today is Sunday, December the 17th. It's the 351st day of 2017. There are just 14 days left in the old year. On this date in history, 1903, Wilbur and Orville Wright conducted the first successful manned power airplane flights on the beaches of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, with the Wright Flyer. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Merry Christmas from all of us at True Life Church. We pray that you have a wonderful celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. This is a great country that from the beginning was established with freedom of religion, a freedom to worship God as you choose. We are also thankful for the Constitution and its rule of law, and a hearty thanks to the people who were and are willing to give their life and live their life to make and keep this country free. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Wow, I just walked in here. My computer's having a cow. All of my stuff is gone.
All of your stuff is gone.
Yeah, I gotta get a couple of things booted up here. It's like it's not in front of me where it's supposed to be.
You know that stuff.
Yeah, you know all the stuff. The
your stuff, my stuff.
Yeah, the stuff we actually talk about when we're here. You know, I actually take the time in the morning to go through and prepare for the show and make sure that we have actually something to talk about and all that good stuff. But my name is Mark Kent and I am your host.
Okay.
There you have it. It's Sunday. Yeah, I got it up. So now I know what to say. Anyway, today is...
Sorry.
Well, according to this thing, I just lost it. Today is June 4th.
Well, maybe
I'm pretty sure that's not right. Oh, good grief. How did I lose... Yeah, okay. Evidently, I sent that to Bob. Okay, anyway, today is December 17th. Let me see if I can figure out what happened here on my stuff. Here we go. I think I got the right. Okay, there we go, December. Well, it wiped out everything I did. Thank you very much, Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
keep it to yourselves over there. Mine's working just fine.
Good grief. It's been nothing but a problem this morning.
Well, you got to... Gotta love Microsoft when they make updates to improve things.
Yeah, they just it just flushed my whole
and right about the time that they get it working nice and smooth,
they do it again.
Good grief. Anyway, did I send you the
hurry, the public's figuring it out. Flush the next update.
Yeah, okay. So that I did get my stuff to Bob, so he's got a copy of it over there, so that's okay. And but what a bunch of crap here. Anyway, I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our trusted producer, soundboard operator, all-around great guy, Bob Martin.
Hey, good morning, Mark and Linda and Red.
And Red Bob. Smith. Yes. I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah.
He's just, all you have to know is that he's in purgatory somewhere.
Kind of.
The seventh circle of a non-existent purgatory recovery, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, we are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can find me on Facebook, Sovereign Minds. Assuming that it's actually still working, it looks like it's up and running.
Yeah, mine's working, as far as I know.
Yeah. Wow. I hate that when that happens, all of a sudden you got all this stuff lined up and boom. Anyway, we got a couple good things to talk about. I think we probably should start with the Bundy trial. And, wow, some of the stuff that came out this week. Matt Shea exposes the BLM atrocities. This is from the Redoubt News. And, in an exclusive interview with the Redoubt News, Washington State Representative Matt Shea read from a letter he received concerning a BLM whistleblower named Larry Wooten. And I know you pulled this out.
Yeah. And there's some pretty damning things in there. And there's a couple things that we can't mention yet that until they're confirmed and they're brought forward. But this has actually led to another sealed hearing in the Bundy trial. Basically, I think they're having a sealed hearing to discuss if their original sealed hearings were legal. Because apparently in those sealed hearings, the government, the prosecution, and the judicial system, it would appear, colluded to hide from the defense exculpatory evidence that would have vindicated the Bundys. They've been aware of this evidence that could very well find the Bundys innocent well before they even indicted them.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on here. I've got a copy of the letter in front of me, and it's from Larry C. Wooten, special agent in the U.S. Department of Interior, Bureau of Land Management. And the subject
now,
is...
that Larry Wooten was actually the chief investigator of the incident at Bunkerville and what his findings were.
Ah, so the subject matter on this, and it's to Goldsmith, Deputy Attorney General, National Criminal Discovery Coordinator. Disclosure and complaint narrative in regard to Bureau of Land Management law enforcement supervisory conduct and associated cover-ups, as well as potential unethical actions, malfeasance by United States Attorney's Office prosecutors from the District of Nevada, Las Vegas, in reference to the Clive Bundy investigation. And at issue, and I'll read this right off here, is the U.S. Department of Interior Bureau of Land Management Office of Law Enforcement and Security, special agent and case agent lead investigator for the Clive Bundy 2004 Gold Butte trespass cattle impound case of the District of Nevada of Las Vegas, blah, 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 blah. He says, he routinely observed the investigation revealed a widespread pattern of bad judgment, lack of discipline, incredible bias, unprofessionalism, misconduct, as well as likely policy, ethical, and legal violations among senior and supervisory staff at the BLM Office of Law Enforcement and Security. The investigation indicated that these issues amongst law enforcement supervisors in our agency made a mockery of our position of special trust and confidence, portrayed extreme unprofessional bias, adversely affecting our agency's mission, and likely the trial regarding Clive and Bundy and his alleged co-conspirators, and ignored the letter and intent of the law.
Absolutely.
I mean, gee, this doesn't just sound like your average, we had a bad investigation. The issue I uncovered, in my opinion, also likely put our agency and special law enforcement supervisors in potential legal, civil, and administrative jeopardy.
It's a pretty powerful statement.
Pretty powerful. And, when you read this letter, it's like you can't decide whether you're dealing with the Marx Brothers or the Murder Incorporated.
Yeah, the Gestapo.
The Gestapo, yeah.
Gestapo run by Laurel and Hardy. It's yeah. Well, there's things that are coming out. Like now, it's coming out in the original order. Special Agent Dan Love, who headed up the operation for BLM, was never ever authorized to remove the cattle from Bundy Ranch. He was never authorized to sell the cattle. He was never authorized for the operation that he did. It's come out now that the government did actually have to admit to their lies. They actually perjured themselves in a court of law when they said that there was not sniper teams deployed at the Bundy Ranch.
Well,
there absolutely was.
They hid all this stuff from Discovery, too, and they knew about it. And so there's collusion. Oh, wow, where have we heard that?
Yeah,
collusion, corruption. Yeah, I mean, when you read this, you know, here's an excerpt from it. Sometimes I felt like he wanted to steer. He's talking about his supervisor at the BLM. And it says, sometimes I felt like he wanted to steer the investigation away from misconduct discovery by refusing to get case assistance, dismissing my concerns, and participating in the misconduct himself. In February of 2017, it became clear to me that keeping quiet might became an unofficial condition of my future employment with the BLM, future awards, promotions, and a good job future reference. So, in other words, you either play ball with us or not only are we going to fire you, we'll blackball you and make your name mud so that you'll never work in this town again.
And that's what they're good at doing. Don't they do that across the board with a lot of other things?
Well, this is behavior that has led to the illegal incarceration of American citizens for going on a year.
I mean, and then
a couple of years,
and a completely trumped up
like
scenario.
3 years, hasn't it been?
Directly to the death of Lavoie Finicum, has split up families. These people, and it's
they don't care.
Coming to light.
Yeah, they don't care. The guys that were running this thing, they don't care. You know,
evidently not.
If you look at the history of Dan Love and Special Agent in Charge at Malheur, Greg Bretzing from the FBI, they have a history of working together and colluding together, and their investigations have a real bad habit of leaving a trail of bodies behind them.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe we should get to our caller here before we go on with some more of the.
All right, we can do that
for a while.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning and Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas.
Mark is so correct in that, Linda, you do the heavy lifting. Yesterday was my first time volunteering for, I think,
we
about anything,
that.
But the Christmas dinner at the Veterans Hall. And Linda and Lori, I can't remember Lori's last name.
Barclay.
Okay. You two, I observed anyway, were the two pivots, and I'm sure there are others in charge of cooking, outside doing the barbecue and the smoked turkeys and cooking inside, and just it was wonderful to observe everybody working as a team, and boy, you could see that the ladies had done this many times before, and there was not a crossword, but everybody worked together and pulled it off. And if there was a question to ask, it was either ask Linda or Lori that I observed. And so I just want to put that out there and say thanks to everybody. This community is so fortunate to have so many people come forth and do what all you ladies do, and some guys. So, anyway, Merry Christmas. And
Merry Christmas, and thank you, Gary, for helping us out. You know, it takes many hands to make it work, so we appreciate it all, you know. And I have to, you know, put a shout-out to everybody. Thank you for all your help, because we did have a lot of help this year, and special thanks to the Guardian Angels. They made sure that everybody got to and from their car safely
out there.
They showed up. And they pitched in. And also the children. There was some high school students there, and I got to give a big shout-out to them. One student, he's about 16. He came in the morning, set up our tables and everything and chairs, went to work and came back and tore down and cleaned up for us. And, hey, you know, you don't see too much of that anymore.
Well,
so
you're starting to see the mindset going out into the community more and more and more with more people, I think, is what's happening. They're starting to realize, you know, that we are in the best country that ever was created, you know, with the Constitution and freedom and liberty, and we're losing it, and we need to go back and honor the people,
right?
You know, that had a hand in that, and still, to this day, have a hand in keeping us free and safe, you know, from, at this point, from our own government.
Right. And like you're saying, Mark, the children, you know, we put out 144 meals just to the police department and the fire departments and stuff in the local community yesterday, and to go boxes so that they could enjoy it. And we even had some of them show up at the hall saying, hey, when we got back off a shift, somebody ate all the food. Can we have some more? So, you know, it was good for the kids to see that.
Right.
That, yeah, just because they couldn't be present or whatever, they could be part of it, and that we, you know, we always respect them and pay honor to the ones like that.
Well,
so.
I think that we need to do this kind of thing more and more, in the fact that we need to have Americans start helping American and quit this politics of division. You know, everybody's got their little axe to grind, and we need to, you know, pull together as Americans and help each other, because the, you know, this is going to get, you know, worse before it gets better across the board. You know, I think Trump's doing a stellar job in trying to pull everything together, but I still think we're going to have a huge problem economically and have a complete currency reset. I don't think there's any way out of that. But
the only way that we fix our country is a dramatic and complete cultural shift.
Right, and that's my point.
Yeah.
That's exactly my point. We got to start looking at each other as Americans, not as, oh, this guy or this color or that color. Or, you know, if you're not an American, then you don't want to be here except to take, then you need,
right,
you need to go.
Yeah.
Kick rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So.
All right. Well, thanks, Gary. Again, I appreciate your help and getting, you know, coming down and being part of it. And we'll have more in the future. And if you want, we'll, you know, we're want to help you help the community too, you know, and we enjoy it.
God bless and Merry Christmas to all. Thank you.
Merry Christmas. And with that, I guess we need to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I grew up being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on nothing too long. Just take what you need from the latest, and leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams. Cowboys are special with their own brand of misery, being alone too long to die. The arms of a nightmare, knowing well that your best days are gone.
This is Jim Gibson. As a Navy veteran and former submariner, I want to wish a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to my fellow submariners and the other North State veterans. But we want to also remember those that are overseas, and a Happy New Year for them, and we should be praying for all of them.
This Veterans Holiday Salute brought to you by the McConnell Foundation and Reading Civic Auditorium.
A movie, a party, an experience. This December 17th at the Cascade Theater, starting at 6 p.m., music with Linda Bott and her Jingle Elves. with Cleveland Bonet, Bruce Kalin, and Joe Larson, playing your favorite Christmas songs in the lobby before the classic movie begins, Miracle on 34th Street. The night begins with good old-fashioned fun, themed drinks for all ages, and an ugly sweater contest, and more. You may even win a beautiful piece of jewelry donated by Devon's Jewelers. There will be a visit from Santa, plus other surprises. Come join us at the Cascade Theater for a classic and fun Christmas event. On the Cascade's big screen, it's Miracle on 34th Street.
Since the United States government declares this man to be Santa Claus, this court will not dispute it. Case dismissed.
Music, dancing, and more, December 17th at the Cascade Theater, beginning at 6 p.m.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Vans Optical would like to pay special tribute to our veterans, who exemplify in their duties the spirit of Christmas with the giving of their service to our country. Let us recognize the service and their sacrifices, and take the opportunity to thank all the talented and dedicated veterans for their commitment to our country by wishing them and their families a very Merry Christmas.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Feeling all right.
Well, that depends on what we're referring to.
Not feeling too good myself. Yeah. Oh, let me turn off my speaker on my. I thought I was getting a double. Oh, it's on my phone. too many devices.
Okay.
Too many devices. I'm trying to figure out where it's coming
challenged from. Technically challenged this
morning. Trying to figure out where it's coming from. Good grief. Well, I had the computer. Got the computer booting up. I had all this stuff going on this morning. It was like crazy. Okay, let's see. Let's get back on the Bundy thing here. And, excuse me. The longer the and this I'm reading directly from the letter from this Wooten guy. The longer the investigation went on, the more extremely unprofessional, familiarly racy, vulgar, and bias-filled actions, open comments, and inappropriate electronic communications he was made aware of or personally witnessed. In his opinion, these issues would likely undermine the investigation, cast considerable doubt on the professionalism of our agency, and be possibly used to claim investigator bias, unprofessionalism, to impeach and undermine key witness credibility, and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's even worse than that. I mean, when we start talking about a kill list, you know, we're talking about this isn't just bad judgment. Yeah. This is worse than that. This is, and we're talking, you know, this lead in this guy, specialist Dan Love, who seems to be at the center of all this crap. You know, he outlines how, Wooten outlines in detail how special agent in charge Dan Love was known for his bad behavior and allowed to get away with it. It's interesting because he goes on to say, Wooten goes on to outline that Dan Love had what he called a kill book as a trophy and in essence bragged about getting three individuals in Utah to commit suicide. Okay, and I know, this is the mentality of this guy. And
that would be the Indian artifact case out of...
Dr.
Red out of Blandon, Utah. That committed suicide over just the ridiculous actions by the BLM and the fines and the things that they went after his family with. And the funny thing is that's not mentioned is one of those three people that committed suicide around that case was the government's key witness that in the weeks prior before had started commenting how he was paid off to manufacture evidence, how he was taught to entrap individuals in the case, and that how he was told to manufacture evidence and statements so that they could bring these people to I don't want to call it justice, but and then within 3 weeks of him beginning to make those comments and his guilt over the death of the other people, he committed suicide with a government-issued service revolver, .38.
Isn't that interesting? Oh. Because it's funny. I've got it posted on Sovereign Minds on Facebook Representative Matt Shea from Washington, who started with this expose, an interview with Readout News on this stuff. The first thing out of his mouth in the thing is that
I'm not suicidal.
I'm not suicidal. I will not commit suicide. If you think I did commit suicide, there seems to be a pattern here of a lot of people commit suicide. A lot of people end up dead. You know, this could be connected to the Hillary and the deep state thing, could it?
And this is all about seizing land from private citizens for things like Uranium One, drilling rights, mineral rights, energy rights.
It's kind of like a takeover.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, where would that come from? I mean, you know, we always talk, and I was listening to, Jefferson State of Mind earlier, and they talk about the taxes in California and everything. But what you have to understand is, and we'll play this segment with Ammon Bundy here in a minute, is that property, they asked Karl Marx if he could sum up. The communists, everybody's a communist conspiracy. Well, you know something? If it looks like a rat, acts like a rat, talks like a rat, eats cheese like a rat, it might be a rat. And so they asked Karl Marx if he could sum up his philosophy, his doctrine, his manifesto in a couple of words. He said the abolition of private property. Now, that's done through taxes. It's done through a central bank. It's done through the out of control federal government taking land that they're not supposed to be in control of, getting rid of the water rights, getting rid of people's ability, because you become subject to whoever controls the property. This goes back to the you know, the barons and the landowners and, or the, you know, the, feudal system where you had the nobles and the serfs mm-hmm. And the king, and the nobles controlled all the land, and, you know, you were subject to the lord of the manor. Well, that's what this is about, because if the lord of the manor controlled all the land, guess who he controlled? Everybody on it.
Well, that's essentially the case with the Bundys. Apparently, the Bundys' cattle was caught eating what's considered the king's sagebrush.
Yeah,
that's
something that you need to really put people down. That's kind of like the Sagebrush Rebellion type thing.
Well, then never mind the fact that the Bundy family has rights to graze on that land
for like ever,
and have had rights on that land since before Nevada was a state, before the existence of BLM, before the existence of a great many things, and those water, mineral, and grazing rights were granted to the Bundy family in perpetuity. That means forever. As long as that land is held by a Bundy, they have mineral, water, and grazing rights to that land.
Yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous to even...
The argument that they arrived there to collect fees, and because Cliven Bundy was delinquent upwards of $1 million in grazing fees. Number one, where do you get off trying to charge anybody $1 million in a lifetime for grazing fees
on public land? I had the breakdown of those fees last week, mm-hmm. and it's like it was only like $9,000.
They can't produce a receipt.
Well, there's a breakdown of it. I got it posted someplace. I'd have to look it up. But 200, out of the million, most of it was charging in fines and
manufactured. They pulled it out of thin air.
Yeah, exactly. So they owe $1 million of a bunch of fines and fees that they levied on them.
You know, and the other people that need to not be forgotten around this climate of what's going on with BLM and the land seizure from the people is the Hammond family out of Oregon. You know, the Dwight and his son are still sitting in the federal penitentiary, under an illegal trial for egregious, ridiculous charges.
Yeah. I mean, that's what this is about, is that, you know, are you a free people? Are you liberty? Do you have the right to you know, most people don't get this connection
not
to
if
the
your
property.
Last name's Bundy.
Well, not if your last name's anything in America anymore.
If you're
I mean,
American,
look at the state of California.
Yeah,
that's why this illegal alien thing is so such a big problem. These guys come in here without any concept of what we're even talking about. All they know is that whatever, if the government is good, if it gives them everything.
Yep, if I get my free stuff.
Well, see, and that's one of the things that I've always argued against the illegal aliens, is because when the government is issuing you what you can and can't do, when they're giving you privileges, they're not protecting your rights. You don't have any rights. You have privileges issued by the state, and when you have privileges issued by the state, they can remove them at a whim. And you are a slave.
Well, when government gives you your rights, government can take them away. That's why people get this whole thing mixed up with religion on God-given rights. You can believe in God or not believe in God, but if you get your rights from God, the only one that can take them away is God. It's a very novel concept in the history of governing the world, mm-hmm. you know, that nobody could take your rights away. You couldn't even give them away because you got them from God. Now, if they're civil government-given rights, guess what?
They can take them away.
Yep. They give them to you. Whoever gives them to you can take them away. It's like the
Constitution does not grant me my rights. It affirms my rights. It confirms them and you know, codifies them.
Right. Well, it's like the old program.
They're there whether the Constitution is or not.
It's like the old program Amos and Andy. Remember, you know, there's Amos and Andy. He says, Andy, what do you got to you? He says, I got a contract. He says, what do it say? He says, it gives it to his, it's right, you read through this, what do the big letters say? He said, the big letters gives it to you. And he says, but what did this fine print say? And he says, that's where it takes it away.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're talking about, is that if it can be given to you, the same person can take it away. So we got, go ahead.
I guess Art is no longer on the phone, but we do have Terry on the phone. Good morning, Terry.
Hey guys, how you doing? I don't know if my cell phone's going to hold up. Great job. Are you guys going to play the sound clip, the clip that we did?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay, because you guys are hitting the nail on the head. You know, really and truly, I'm about ready to call in. I think we all should be calling in every day to every radio station about how pastors and parsons and priests stand up for liberty. And Mark, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, really and truly, let's stop and think about this a minute. Okay, we can't pray in school. Well, we can't even have a nativity scene. We can't do anything that's our freedom of religion. We have a government that's taking away our right to have God in the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, at what point do we stand up in these churches and say, wait, stop, hold on? You know, what point do we do that? At what point do we say we have God-given rights? At what point do we say, you know, enough is enough? At what point do we start standing? And that's what we've got to do starting today.
I agree.
Today we have to start that.
Well, one of the things that I would like to say is the government cannot take away our rights unless we refuse to exercise them. They can violate them, but they can't take them away.
Yep, I agree.
And that's right. And as, you know, as Ammon Bundy, we'll talk about it in just a few minutes, he was right the heck on. I mean, the BLM, they shouldn't even be in existence.
Right.
The FBI shouldn't be in existence. They shouldn't even be there.
Well, that's why the founders said we need to, they said government, all government was inherently evil. It inherently took over your rights. If it got out of control, it was a monster that would consume you and everybody and your freedoms. That's why we had to bind it down with the chains of a constitution to make sure that it stayed limited, because it has the tendency always throughout history to start getting out of control. It's actually predictable. It happens every single time, and we can see it now. What the founders warned us about is happening right now, right here in River City. We got, you know, trouble with a T and a capital whatever, and it rhymes with poo. Okay, and so,
well, it,
sorry,
it's true. It
Bob is hovering over the button. I know Bob's hovering over the button.
Well, is there any American with any decent sense or sense of propriety that at this point can have any faith in our agencies with the revelations of the IRS, the BLM, the FBI? Do we have any faith in the entities of our government anymore?
No.
Well, you know, stop and think about what you just said. All three agencies you just named, along with agencies like CARB, along with agencies like the Board of Education, they got their own police force.
Yeah,
they got their freaking own police force.
Yeah, the Forest Service. The Forest Service with fish cops. You got. I mean, you got, everybody's got police powers now with
DMV's. Police force now.
It's ridiculous.
It's
so
insanity.
So in other words, we the people need to be afraid of our government because we're the problem.
We've got to take back the government. End of sentence. Anyway, I'll let you guys go. Great show, and I'm looking forward to hearing that clip again.
Okay, very good.
Okay, thanks, Terry. We appreciate it.
Let's go to a break, Bob, real quick, and then we'll come back and we'll play that clip. I think this next song is really appropriate for what we've been talking about.
All right, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Shasta County Veterans Service Office wishes all active duty, their families, and local veterans a Merry Christmas. Our troops make a courageous effort year-round to ensure Americans continue to enjoy the liberties given to them so long ago. This is Celestina Traver, your Shasta County Veterans Service Officer, saluting all Armed Forces men and women and wishing you a happy holiday season.
This salute brought to you by Simpson University and Dan's Optical.
Hey music lovers, Nathan Parmalee here, talent buyer for the Reading Civic Auditorium. We have tons of incredible shows lined up with entertainment for everybody. Old Dominion is coming back to the Reading Civic on February 15th. The last show was a sellout. Then we'll have Broadway's A Night with Janis Joplin, followed by the rhythm sensation Stomp. In March, the cast of Dancing with the Stars Live will light up the Reading Civic. Plus, we'll hear music from the Ten Tenors, get dog whispering tips from Cesar Millan himself, spend the evening with the legendary Bonnie Raitt, and see Amazing Grace the musical tell the story of the famous song. Comedian Kathleen Madigan will bring her Boxed Wine and Bigfoot tour in April, and will kick off another great Reading Civic summer with country star Josh Turner and singing sensation Jackie Evanko. Get the best seats to these shows and more to come at ReadingCivic.com. 2017 was huge, and 2018 is going to be even bigger. Don't miss out on upcoming show announcements and pre-sale access. Sign up for our email notifications at ReadingCivic.com. And remember, tickets make great gifts, plus they're easy to wrap. See you soon at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Sovereign Mind Radio, the Lawman Brothers there. Good stuff, Maynard. We got a little word of wisdom from our Raleigh Sally Galley.
Raleigh Sally Galley?
There you go. Raleigh Sally Gal. There you go. Happiness and moral duty are an inseparable connection. George Washington. I think that's kind of appropriate to what we're talking about. Yeah, if you don't have any moral, no moral values, nothing. Hey, just give me my free cheese.
Government cheese. Give me my government cheese.
Hey, I want some government. I want some government cheese.
Yeah.
Because the government gonna take care of me. Maybe not. Look at the stellar job they're doing in Detroit and Chicago. Yeah. Anyway, let's play this.
California.
Oh, yeah. We buy. by the way, we are now the poorest state in the union. It has nothing to do with Democratic policies down in Sacramento, I don't think, though. It's just weird. I mean, it's just like an anomaly, you know. It's like not predictable, for thousands and thousands of years, the same type of programs that lead to the same results.
See, I'm not even sure I'm willing at this point to define it as Democratic policy. It's
government
policy.
It's straight out of the Communist Manifesto.
Well,
what's going on. You can't even, in the state of California, you can't even split it up between Republican and Democrat anymore, because you look at our quote-unquote Republicans, and what are they? They're the Bud Light of commies.
Well, you know what we should have? We should do a documentary or a new TV program, a new reality series. Instead of Girls Gone Wild, it'll be Government Gone Wild. And in light of all of the sexual harassment that's been going on, I bet you we won't be in short supply of any of the kind of crap that we need to show on it. Mm-hmm. It'll be like, here's the camera running down the hall with some senator or congressman or government official trying to get away because he's been busted again for sexual harassment, mm-hmm. or copping a feel on his secretary or something.
Out of all of the sexual scandal and stuff that's coming out of Hollywood and being tied to politicians and all these, I'm sure that Hollywood has never touched California politicians at all.
No.
Yeah, no.
That's kind of funny.
No, they completely missed it in their own backyard.
So what are you saying? Jerry Brown Pants might have something in his closet?
No, I would doubt that very much.
That's kind of a...
Now the rest of them...
I was going to say Nancy might.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi or Barbara Bacher or Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Barbara
Feinstein?
Boxer. Feinstein.
Feinstein?
I am Feinstein. You will give me all your guns.
We will build this railroad.
Or you will be shot while escaping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's listen to Ammon Bundy here and see what he has to say. Go ahead, Bob. It's all yours. Take it away. KCNR 1460, home of Three Fire Media. Community radio for the nation.
Thank you for vamping there while I attempt to get the pause button unstuck. Good grief.
KCNR 1460 530-605-4567.
One more time.
Okay, here we go.
Maybe.
Life like that, like it means nothing. It's just completely inappropriate. However, the main point of my video here is not because of that. My point is because I'm afraid that we're going to lose a touch of what's really happening, what really happened here. Because we have an unconstitutional land agency, a federal agency, and it's not just the land agencies, but I'm going to just stick to that, coming down inside the states and literally putting its people in fear and forcing the states into undue obedience. Forcing us, the people, into undue obedience. And when we allow that to happen, and we don't hold them accountable, and we have no way to hold them accountable, and why? Why don't we have a way to hold Dan Love accountable? Why don't we have a way to hold these people accountable? Because they're outside of the authority that they're acting. They're usurping it. There's no way to hold them accountable. You can't vote them in, you can't vote them out. You can't defund them. You can't do anything with them because they're not supposed to be here. These lands and all of these issues are supposed to be handled on a county and a state level. And for them to come in and insert themselves and use force and intimidation to tax us to death and take it up to Washington, D.C. and then dangle it over our heads, saying that if you don't do this, we're not going to fund you. If you don't do that, we're not going to fund you. And if you do do this, we will fund you. Completely controlling the people and literally forcing us into undue obedience. What do you think is going to happen when we go away from the founding principles that were that built this nation? What do you think is going to happen? This is what happens. Until we get back to the principles that are outlined in the Constitution, until we stand on those principles, we cannot be free. And it will happen over and over again. And I guarantee it's happening in the Department of Justice, in the FBI, in the Department of Education, in the every department of the federal government, because there is no accountability. And we can't make them accountable. But on a county level, we could get them out. On a state level, we can hold them accountable. And that's the issue here, and we cannot lose sight of that. It's not that we go to Washington, D.C. and, boy, we reprimand the BLM. Boy, we got to straighten them out to make sure they follow their procedures and regulations and their statutes right. No, it's that they should not be in our states, period. And as long as they are, we're in danger. As long as they are, we can't use our lands and resources. And it'll throw us completely into poverty. You cannot live without the land. You cannot survive without the water. And they have deliberately and intentionally and deceptively over years, over decades, taken the land, taken the water and the resources and the minerals away from the people. Until we wonder why we're all struggling to make a living. We have to wake up. We have to get back to those principles that keep us free and keep us happy and keep us prosperous. We have to. I don't want to leave this country. I want to stay right here. I love this land. I love this people. I love freedom. But unless we insist and enforce the principles that are found in the Constitution, and that the principles that we built this nation upon, unless we enforce those principles, we cannot be free. And my children will not be able to even enjoy what I've enjoyed. And that's not good enough for me. I do not want my sons to struggle to feed their families because some federal government is in business for themselves. I want my grandchildren to enjoy the freedom that my grandparents enjoyed. And they cannot do that if they can't go out on the land and produce. They cannot do that if everything they make goes to the federal government in taxes or any government. They should be able to keep the fruits of their labors and give it to their children and provide for their wives and build homes and not in debt. So keep the perspective correct. Of course the Bureau of Land Management did this. Of course they did. That's what happens when you don't hold people accountable, when you can't hold people accountable. That's what happens when they're unlimited. When they believe they have full control and full power. That's what happens. So of course there's a kill list. Of course you got them, you know, plotting to destroy a family that stands up against them. Of course you do. And the only way to make it right is to hold them to the limitations that are found in the Constitution that we the people set upon them. And that goes across the board. What in the world are they doing in our states? Implementing health care. Implementing land control, implementing the environment regulations, education, what are they doing? The people need to do that themselves within their counties and within their cities and within their states. The federal government needs to go do their jobs. It's outlined in the Constitution. It's very clear. And beyond that, they have no power. Beyond that, they have no power. And if we allow them to step across those bounds, which we have, they will abuse it. Thank you.
Well, I think that kind of says it all.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but we've been talking about it. I mean, and if the people in numbers do not wake up and smell the coffee here, you know, what's the old saying? We'll either hang together or we'll all hang separately. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Or we're going to end up in a violent upheaval at some point, because it'll just get uglier and uglier and uglier until people, you know, start again.
We're at the top of the hour. Please stay tuned for the second part of Sovereign Minds. This is from KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Look for a vote on that big Republican tax cut plan as early as Tuesday. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says it's a good deal.
You're going to see cuts anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 for medium families with two kids. This is going to have a huge impact in the economy, and it's going to have a huge impact on American jobs. You're going to see that right away.
He spoke to CBS TV's Face the Nation program this morning. President Trump says he'll sign the bill as soon as it hits his desk. One of the biggest wildfires in California history is now 40% contained, but flames still threaten coastal communities as dry, gusty winds are predicted to continue. More than 8,000 firefighters are deployed on the so-called Thomas Fire, which has burned for nearly 2 weeks and still threatens 18,000 homes. Swaths of Santa Barbara County remain under evacuation orders. A funeral procession planned for later today for the one firefighter who's been killed fighting this blaze. There's a call to speed up the use of screening devices that detect suicide vests, like the one that exploded in a New York City subway tunnel this month.
The only person seriously injured in that explosion was the man wearing the bomb. The TSA is testing standoff explosive detection units that do full body scans for metallic and non-metallic objects. You don't actually walk through a scanner like at the airport. Instead, the equipment projects scanning waves at people from a distance. If an explosive device is detected, it triggers an alarm. The TSA says the technology is still in the test phase in L.A., but Senator Charles Schumer wants it sped up and deployed across the country. Julie Walker, New York.
Two suicide bombers attacked a church in Pakistan today. They killed 9 people and wounded more than 50. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Toshiba and Western Digital have made peace over the embattled Japanese electronic giant's plan to sell its flash memory unit.
The companies say the agreement allows Western Digital to participate in future investments in their joint venture. That would clear the way for a consortium led by Bain Capital to buy Toshiba Memory Corporation. The deal also addresses concerns over protection of valuable patents and other intellectual property in the highly competitive field of flash memory products used in many high-tech products.
Correspondent Jeremy House. The annual reenactment of George Washington's daring 1776 crossing of the Delaware River draws large crowds of families and history fans on both sides, Pennsylvania and New Jersey, along about Christmas. But the reenactors may not get onto the water this year. Organizers say a pretty significant amount of precipitation will have to fall this week, or the river's water levels will be too low. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A Georgia attraction makes an unusual offer this weekend.
Wild Adventures Theme Park in Valdosta was giving away T-shirts and free admission yesterday to the first 100 guests to gobble up a roasted cricket. The challenge was meant to promote the park's upcoming attraction called Megabugs, an interactive insect attraction, scheduled to open up in March. Exhibits will include giant replicas of insects, including a 15-foot dragonfly, a 26-foot hissing cockroach, and a 50-foot millipede. The exhibits will showcase the unique sounds and movements that insects make.
Correspondent Rhonda Rockstrip. Today is Sunday, December the 17th, and a birthday for some notable people, including the Pope. Pope Francis is 81 years old today. Actor Bernard Hill turns 73. Political commentator Chris Matthews, 72 years old today. Actor Wes Studi is 70. Country singer Tracy Byrd, 51. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sovereign Radio, home of Free Fire Media. I kind of like that stuff. New guy I just ran across, Keb Moe. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but he's been around for a while, I guess. Yeah.
Keb Moe.
Good stuff. Anyway, we have our guest.
Well, first of all, we have a caller on the line that we need to get to real quick before we get to our guest.
Almost forgot.
Good morning, Bob. What's up?
Good morning. Merry Christmas, Solly, and thank you for a great job for the last few years on what you're doing. But something I thought maybe you guys could answer is I don't understand where all these politicians and people that want to run this world, they made all their millions, they've done everything, they prospered under our way of law, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. And now they want to change it to a socialist government, a progressive government, or whatever it is they want. And I'd like to know why they'd like to do this after doing so well for over 200 years. And now I do understand why our kids won't get along this. They haven't been taught any of our history or anything like that in over 50 years, so they don't know it. Well, I mean, if it's not for a parent to teach them, they know nothing.
Well, here's my theory, Bob.
So, I'll take the answer off the air because I know you're in a hurry. So,
all right,
guys, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
We appreciate it.
Here's my theory. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I mean, that's the answer right there. Let's say that you are raised as a silver spoon fed rich person all your life, like Rockefeller, Rothschilds, or whoever it is. And all your life, you've had everything that you could possibly want. Money, you know, fame, whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, you're bored. And so what else is there except to get more power? And that's really what it comes down to with all these guys from the bottom to the top. That, you know, they get bored with, you know, power is fun. Getting
they
more power.
More money,
more power,
more
everything.
Money, yeah.
It becomes a habit. You know,
once they get there, they want to restructure the system so they don't have to share with the other children.
So, well, that's how they get power, is corruption, you know, because the evil guys don't produce. They corrupt and take stuff that's not theirs.
Yes, they're just thieves in the night, those evil profiteers of entrepreneurship.
That's not what I meant.
No.
I meant the guys in government. In other words, they don't produce. You know, they don't have to produce. They have to take somebody else's stuff. Mm-hmm. The guys that are capitalists and free market guys have to actually produce something of value to put into the marketplace. That's how they be.
Profit's evil.
Shut up. And take that shirt off you're wearing, by the way, and get rid of those pants because because that's capitalism, is providing a service or a product, you know, and that's not evil. That's actually good.
Mm.
Yeah, because otherwise you'd be dressed in a sackcloth with, you know, I don't know.
But I would still be innocent.
Shut up. Anyway, we have our guest.
We do. We have Bruce Thornton on the line with us this morning. And he has wrote 9 different books. And so he is a journalism.
He's a journalist.
Journalist, yes, thank you. And so we wanted to bring him on. He likes to talk about free speech, the fake media, and all those types of things that fits right along with us. So good morning.
He actually appeared on Bill Maher's show, too, which I don't know how he did that. But good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. I do have to give a slight correction. I'm not really a journalist. I would take that as an insult, but I know you didn't do it on purpose.
No.
But
old school. Old school journalist.
But I am a research fellow at the Stanford's Hoover Institution and a professor at the California State University. So don't add the burden of being a journalist to the burden of being a professor.
So how about if we call you a seeker of truth?
I try, you know. I just try to sort of look at what's going on and put it into a larger historical context. And particularly your caller had a very good question. And, you know, to get at the heart of the progressive movement is you have to go back to the end of the 19th century when there was a planned, concerted dismantling begun of the Constitution.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we've been living through that. We've been living with the fallout from that. And so that's really the first place to start.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. So what was the first plot, if you will, to dismantle the Constitution, in your opinion?
Well, I think towards the end of the 19th century, about 1870s, 1880s, a lot of Americans went over to German universities, and they saw the centralized government of Bismarck in Germany and its success and its social welfare. And they believed that the old constitutional order of divided, separated powers was inadequate for the modern day. So they set about making arguments for empowering the executive over the other branches, of putting government in the hands of technocrats like themselves, who presumably understood human nature and motivation and behavior better than the founders did, which they don't. And you know, it started during Wilson's, and reached its real move in under FDR, and then you had LBJ, and then you had the culmination of Barack Obama.
So it sounds to me like me and you are cut from the same cloth in a lot of ways. Let's see if that's true. So under Wilson, what was the policies that gave the executive branch more power that you believe, you know, was it starting the turning point, you know, going down the road away from the Constitution?
Well, mainly it's expansion of the executive. Now, Wilson was helped a lot by the fact that we entered World War One, and as we know, going back to Lincoln, wars are always when the executive, as commander-in-chief, has a lot of leeway in terms of his power. But of course, once the war is settled and over, there should be a contraction of that. The next phase was the Depression. Those two events, World War I and the Depression, gave the people wanting this extra power an excuse to sell to the people. And so their philosophy found its moment in those two events. And one of the landmarks is the 13th Amendment, I believe, that took the made the Senate popularly elected instead of elected by state legislatures.
Yeah.
And we might think, well, that's great, you know, more democracy. No, having the state legislators elect the senators increased the power of the states immensely. It was part of the heart of federalism. Mm-hmm. Because you think of what the powers of the Senate has over the executive, then they could, you know, they could apply a counterforce to an expansionary executive.
Well, and it kept it down at the local level a lot more. That's part of what the state of Jefferson is all about, is getting back that representation at the local county levels, you know, because...
Well, at the state level, yeah. And the thing is, you say, well then they weren't accountable to people. Sure they were, because the legislators were accountable to the people, and the people knew those legislators in a way that they don't know a lot of government officials. In fact, Scalia, in one of his last speeches before he died, he pointed out that was one of the disastrous moves during that period that weakened the constitutional order.
Well, not only
because
that,
it diminished the powers of the states.
Well, when the senators were subject to the state legislature too, there's also the history of states voting to withdraw their legislators in protest,
mm-hmm.
and shutting
Absolutely.
Down Congress and doing things like that. And
each one of the legislators was elected. Each county had a legislature as well back in those days.
Mm-hmm. So you could actually go to your representative and say, "This guy in Washington's doing a terrible job. Get him out of there."
Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And they could exert pressure on their local legislators.
Well, and that's
whom they are closer to.
That's the essence of the State of Jefferson movement as it is now, because since that change away from the model that the founders set up, and then the Reynolds versus Sims court case that, you know, even further expanded the powers, mm-hmm. away from the individual rights and the representation, you know, that's why they're going for the state split. And I got to agree with them, unless we could get that back, that's why we're seeing California kind of implode. I mean, it's out of control. There is no representation in the state capital at this point.
At the state and federal level now, you have two populist houses.
It
has moved us so far away from republicanism and into direct democracy.
Yes.
Exactly right, and that's a great point, because going back to ancient Athens, every tyrant wants to cut out the middleman. Any authority in between the masses, the people, and the tyrant is a challenge to the tyrant. And we learned that at Runnymede with Magna Carta.
Yes.
So the tyrant can handle the people. The old day you could massacre them. Today you can buy them off with redistributing wealth. And so without those intermediary authorities, and I'm not just talking about government, I'm talking about the family, the church, business, right? Rotary Club, all of these social organizations, those all stand between the citizen and the government like filters. But now those have been reduced in influence, the family, the church, etc. And so now it's just a centralized, Leviathan-sized federal government that's dealing with the people instead of their local, having some control for their local representation, as you pointed out, who understand local issues better. I mean, look at our water problem in California.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. That is the creation of the EPA, which backs up the crazy environmentalists who, instead of building reservoirs when we had a huge rain year,
mm-hmm.
they let it all run out into the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, we can.
And instead,
throw
they're
those
building
guys
a highway train of high-speed rail to nowhere. So, you know, that's one of the effects. You take it away from the local people on the ground who know the conditions, and some 3,000 miles away, some bureaucrat is coming up with all these wacky ideas.
Yeah, they shouldn't even be in existence. They could get rid of the EPA, and we'd all be a lot better off, as far as I'm concerned. But let's go back to Runnymede. You know, you brought that up. You know, that was basically this when they signed the Magna Carta. And how did they get King John to sign the Magna Carta is the first question I would ask.
How the British always got the king to do anything. They wouldn't give him any money. And they had knights. I mean, these barons, all these landowners, they had their own military forces, mm-hmm. militias, we would call them. And the king had to come to them. If he was pursuing, you know, like the British kings always had this thing about France, right, that they wanted to get back their lost provinces in France. And they wanted to go to war. They wanted to do this, wanted to do that. They had to ask for money. And they did not have, at least until Henry VIII, they did not really have a kind of military power that could take on all these barons. If they got united, which they rarely did, but they did in that point, you unite them, you have to concede something to them. And Magna Carta was that concession.
Yeah, so basically they said you either sign this, King John, or we're going to kill you?
No. Just starve him out. Reduce his influence, his prestige. Make him live like, you know, well, be a bum among all the other European kings.
I am his levy.
Starve the beast. I mean, that's why you got to like Trump's tax plan a little bit here.
Absolutely.
We need to start starving the beast.
And here's another point, if I may. The founders understood this, the role of money. Okay,
yes.
That's why they gave the power of the purse to the House of Representatives, the directly elected arm of government, because the Anti-Federalists were complaining throughout the Constitutional Convention and before and during the state ratification conventions about the democracy deficit, we might call it, in the Constitution. And Madison said, look, they've got the power of the purse. If there's something that the federal government's doing that they don't like, they don't have to fund it. So, you know, the last few years, you have all this, oh, the Republicans want to shut down the government. That's what they're supposed to do.
I wish they would.
That's what the Constitution told them to do.
Please.
Hey, yes.
Yeah.
Help us out.
Put the brakes on.
So, I don't know. See, that's just another dimension of how that whole constitutional order, which is, I don't think there's been a government ever created by human beings, right, as ours was, of course, with the help of God, human beings, that is as true to human nature as it is. Progressives dream of a human nature transformed into goodness and charity and all those sorts of things. Never going to happen. Not since Adam and Eve to today. Human nature is human nature.
Well, that's what cracks me up about their whole concept, is that they say man is inherently evil. That's why we got to have bigger government to manage over him.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, well,
to improve him, to make him better.
To make him
what
better.
They really mean is to make him docile.
Well, and who's the guys that are going in there? The guys in government are somehow benevolent angels when they get elected? They're the same guys.
Yeah. I mean, there's some. Look, I got to stick up for a representative from the Valley here, Devin Nunes, on the Intelligence Committee in the House. He's been, but he's a dairy farmer from the San Joaquin Valley. He's an ordinary working guy who got into politics, and he's really, really at the heart of getting this whole corrupt, colluding Democrat corruption of the FBI and the DOJ trying to get at to the bottom of that.
Well, it just goes to show you, every once in a while, a good one does slip through.
Well, you know the old saying, even a blind squirrel will find an acorn occasionally, so we got our acorn.
Well, I'm not sure that the problem is so much as finding good people to send there. It's keeping them good once they're there.
Right. The power doesn't go to their head.
Yeah, I've had guys tell me, if you're in Washington... Don't go to any parties, because if you're not careful, you'll end up in the back room in a bed with a bunch of naked women laying around you when you wake up, and photo and flash bombs going off.
Yeah, and don't forget the lobbyists too. They'll be lurking in the corners, right, waiting to get their take.
Yeah,
no, it is. You know what? As somebody once said, D.C. is Hollywood for ugly people. Right? it attracts people who want attention, who want celebrity, who want to be big deals, who want reporters all around them, you know, asking them questions. And it's very hard for a lot of people to resist that. Absolutely true.
I'm looking at a picture of Paul Ryan right now, and it's like, I mean, what you just said, this picture, I wish I could show it to you right now. It's like, that's him. I mean,
what,
he's got this
too ugly for
Eddie Munster with a smile on his face.
Eddie Munster. character. Yeah.
And he wants power. You know, I mean, that's what he looks like. And then Mitch McConnell's on the other side of Trump. And, you know, that guy just looks like, you know, he doesn't care about anything except staying in power.
Yeah, maybe having a cocktail and going to bed or something.
Well,
but,
there you go.
You know, yeah, I mean, I try not to just, you know, broad brush people. And we're talking about lots of people over lots of time. You are going to get a lot of people who simply want that celebrity status. On the other hand, let's not forget, to me, somebody like Paul Ryan's problem is a sense of self-virtue.
Right.
And moral superiority that inhibits having the government function the way the founders said it.
We're
should
smart.
It
we're
function.
Smart. We're smarter than you. We're smarter
exactly.
than them.
And, mm-hmm. and what the founders based the whole constitutional order on, and Madison makes this clear in Federalist 10, one of the greatest pieces of political philosophy ever. He says, what motivates people? He says, passions and interests.
Yep.
Notice he doesn't say principles. He'd love to have principles. They want to have principled men, but they understand what you started with, that power is a corrupting, or as they put it, power is of an encroaching nature. You get a little power, you're not happy with a little power. Too many people want more and more. So they saw man as he is and said, look, people have their interests, most interests being property, back then, today, but they have passions. Back then, slavery was a passion, the pro and con. Religious confessional differences were huge there, which is why we have a First Amendment. So they said you have to accept that and create a structure that doesn't allow any one faction based on one of these interests or passions get too much power to take freedom from the rest. And this is what we got to remember. The Constitution was not created to solve problems. People solve problems. Communities solve problems. States solve problems. It was created to protect the freedom of all. That's it. And when you have a presidential election today, even Republicans have been infected with that progressive idea that, you know, we're here to solve the problems, and we can do it here in Washington. You remember what Reagan said? What? How many words were the most frightening words in the English language? I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Yeah.
Boy, it's true, isn't it? Let's talk a little bit about sound money. I mean, that's my forte. I mean, being in the financial industry and so forth. It's crazy what we have now. The founders said that gold and silver in the Constitution was the only proper money, and they even, you know, outlined that, what that's supposed to be. And then, you know, during Wilson's administration, all of a sudden we have this thing called the Federal Reserve, and then we also got the income tax, and that's all just a big coincidence,
that's
you
right.
understand.
Well, you should look up a guy that is very little known in today's history but was very influential. Look up Eugene Debs and read about him.
Oh, yeah, the socialist candidate thrown in jail during the war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I think that's part of our problem as well, is that, you know, sound money and free markets is what, you know, on top of limited government, is what creates prosperous, happy society. I mean, you got to have a moral base, obviously, too. And that was the mix. That was the synergy that we had for quite a while in this country.
Right.
And thus, you know, the greatest nation in the history of the earth as far as everything, technology and so forth. So
they never preached abundance, too. I mean, they were very definitely clear, especially Jefferson was very clear that frugality and economy was the way to keep ourselves and our government clean, that don't go buying things we can't afford just for comfort's sake, because we will end up indebted. And that's where we are.
Oh, we are $20 trillion.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, they were very clear about how important it was to remain economic and frugal.
Listen,
sure, and that was the what they learned from the 10 years between the Declaration of Independence and the Constitutional Convention, roughly 10 years.
Listen, Bruce, we got to go to a break,
but if you can hang on with this, that would be great. We can keep going after the break with you.
I have somewhere to go, but if it's like about 10 minutes, is that all right?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
So
all right.
We will pick this up on the other side. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567.
And this music is for Paul Ryan. So there we go.
I'm too sexy for my love.
Oh, no.
For my love. Love's going to leave me.
Season's greetings from the Reading Civic Auditorium. This is Nathan Parmalee, talent buyer for the Civic. We wish all our veterans and active duty servicemen and women a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Everyone at the Reading Civic Auditorium is grateful for your service to our country and extend our hopes for a peaceful and prosperous new year for you and your families. Stay warm, stay safe, and we'll see you soon at the Civic.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
In Reading alone, a property crime is committed every 2.5 hours. That's 3,837 in 2016. That includes burglary, larceny, and vehicle theft. If your business has plants, keep them in planter boxes with sides at least 4 feet high. By making the boxes raised very narrow and allowing plants to grow over them, it makes them difficult to both hide in or sit on for long periods of time. This security moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit. At Wind River Retreat, indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean. Here at Wind River Retreat, our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend the day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing. Featuring Dermalogica products for skin care and body treatment, we're the only spa in Reading that has a steam and sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Visit WindRiverSpa.com. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Hello, this is Chad David from Orchard Nutrition Center. I want to wish all of our veterans and military for their years of service. We know this is a hard time of the year, not seeing your families and loved ones. From all of us at Orchard Nutrition Center, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
I'm too sexy for my clothes, and I'm the candy man.
Boy.
The government cheese and candy. All right.
All right. That's what we need.
Hey, are you still with us, Bruce?
I am here.
We apologize for that long break, but we didn't have a
great
choice.
Music.
Thanks. We try. So where were we? I know we were talking about, go ahead and finish your thought if we can. Where were we at?
Yeah, you tell me.
Yeah,
well,
maybe
I was rocking out to that music. I think I forgot.
Anyway, we were talking about sound money, and then we were talking about. But let me start with.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, let me finish that thought. The 10 years between the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, roughly. The British colonial governments were gone. They were replaced with a whole manner of different kinds of state governments, and they started getting into debt, and they started going to paper money, which was in existence, of course. Mm-hmm. And the problem was the debt and the you know, debased money that was floating around, because, you know, everybody, when you have debt, inflation is your friend for a while. And I think that had a big influence on the founders. I don't know how, given what has happened in the, you know, since we went to fiat money, not backed by gold, I don't know how a globalized economy in which the dollar is the global specie, I don't know how you could ever go back on that. This is not my area, so I'm sure there are people out there who have a good idea of how to do it. I just can't comment on it.
Well,
let
it
fall in its face.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen. I think China's about ready to knock us out as the petrodollar by trading oil in yuan, and they're setting that up, you know, for the first of the year.
Yeah.
But,
well, you can also now trade in the yuan for gold.
That's what I'm saying. They're setting up a gold-backed, oil-backed trading currency if you want. But the problem is right now is we're riding on Airbucks. I mean, good grief. Anybody who can go to the computer down at the Federal Reserve can type up $1 trillion and it just comes, you know, and then lend it to the government, and it's all good, and there's not going to be any repercussions.
Well, it's one of the first lessons our young republic learned during the Revolutionary War when the Congress started issuing fiat currency to pay the troops and stuff, and then that took off with rapid, you know, not just the regular inflation and things like that, because when you need money, you just print more, right?
Well,
but then you get into the rampant counterfeiting and the different things that went on,
right?
And it almost destroyed our young republic right there.
Well, what's interesting about then and now is this, okay? We haven't had huge inflation or a hyperinflation that I believe we probably would have had if we would just stuck to paper money. But now we've got nothing but digits and computers, and then you look at the Bitcoin craze.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, all we got to do is just start making money up. We can create a computer that just mines it, and it's
right.
All,
yeah, no problem.
Trillions and
So who knows where this experiment in monetary policy is going to end up. But
well, we know because remember the tulip?
Yeah.
We know where that and the South Sea bubble in England. We know where
yep.
the meme show. But the real point, you know, and I try to make this any time I get an opportunity, is what we're facing is unfunded liabilities, not just the debt, but the promises made, state, municipal, federal government. Mm-hmm. All of those are the huge iceberg that the ship of state is heading towards.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm so happy that Donald Trump was elected. He's doing a great job. But
I agree.
You know, he said, we're not going to talk about Social Security. At some point, somebody's going to have to talk about Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. They're already two-thirds of the federal every year's annual budget.
I won't see my Social Security.
Well, depending on your age, if you're a geezer like me, you're probably all right. But the reductions, extending the age of retirement, which probably has to happen, various kinds of reductions, cutbacks. It's the people after my generation. It's the millennials who don't seem to be awake too much. I get them and I say, listen, guys, I'm not paying that debt back, that $20 trillion. Mm-hmm. And that I'm not doing it. You're going to do
yeah.
it. And your kids are going to do it. And my kids are going to do it.
Yeah, we'll be dead. We're not paying it back. Yeah.
I'm kind of resigned to the fact that my generation will be the one hitting the iceberg.
Well, no, you're going to get it. You're going to get your Social Security, just like they're getting their money in Venezuela, the Bolivars.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be paid in pigeons
and
stray cats.
They actually have a calculator.
Paper.
They have a calculator now on Bloomberg, I think it is. You can Google it, where they calculate how much a cup of coffee is in Bolivars over the course of this last year.
Right.
It started out as 1,000 Bolivars. I think we're now at 10,000 Bolivars.
Yeah, by Weimar Germany.
Yeah.
No, they'll pay us in bitcoins.
Hey, you better
planning.
You better get in while we're at the top.
Yeah. Can I have my Social Security and land?
Well, that's the problem, man. That could be a problem. That's not.
Hey, watch out! It might be downtown Detroit. So,
hey, it's cheap land.
It's cheap.
You know, I
solve two problems, huh?
Yeah, I saw a guy selling a property in Detroit for a buck.
Wow. Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. It was true. Yeah. It was a buck. Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a very, very difficult problem, and I don't believe it's going to be solved without some pretty serious disruption.
Yeah, all honesty, and people that I know in my generation that are aware of what's going on, and too.
He's a millennial, by the way.
I am not.
Yeah. Boy, that was quick.
Never mind.
Wait. You don't want him to be my crappy generation, the boomers.
No,
you know?
I'm a tail-end Gen Xer.
Oh, see, I don't even know anymore.
Oh, Xer, yeah. Well,
oh, okay, I thought you were a millennial.
But we're very resigned to the fact that we will be hitting the iceberg, but it's our hope to provide the millennials with a way out, a way back up.
Ah,
We're pretty convinced
I think you go to work for the government and you get an account with CalPERS. And you wait because
don't want my money.
You want the Bitcoin.
Mm. I want an IOU from the state of California.
You know,
that'll be honored.
That transcends party, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, if you start going down the list of what Republicans presidents gave us, Richard Nixon gave us the EPA.
Took us off the gold standard.
Affirmative action took us off the gold standard. Reagan signed the changes into Social Security disability, which has helped it to explode to the point of bankruptcy.
Let's not forget the Clinton surplus.
W. Bush gave us an expanded Department of Education, which should not exist. That is a local issue. It's that. So,
it's equal opportunity corruption.
Everybody's been in on it. Everybody has accepted the progressive assumption that we live in a world so different from the founders that we need a different approach to government. But their problem is we don't live in a world in which human beings are any better or improved than were the same human beings the founders were taking into account when they constructed the Constitution. And that's really where the problem lies. And if you look at something like climate change and the number of Republicans that were getting on board with climate change, you know, It's preposterous. It's preposterous. So, you know, people have an R by their name, and they call themselves conservative. In many ways, they may be conservative and are conservative. But that fundamental assumption about government and what government's for and what it does, the progressives have pretty much won that battle.
Well, I think what we should do is tear down the Statue of Liberty and put a big statue of John Maynard Keynes up there. And then we can hand out little statues at the Ellis Island, and everybody could worship them instead of... And then you burn the incense, and, you know, that would...
Yeah, good luck on that one.
Yeah. I'd sell them.
Yeah. Jerk that smoke wagon and go.
Anyway, how crazy is this whole thing? I think we're going to have a currency reset. That's what I believe. I think that's what Trump is setting up for, because, I mean, everybody's talking about how good the economy's going, and I'm just not seeing it. I mean, there's some improvement. He's done some great stuff, bringing back factories and putting people to work and, you know, a bunch of good stuff. And I think he's the best guy ever to be at the helm right now. But with that said, I mean, retail is falling apart. I mean, and when I look around at all these guys living under the bridge, I'm not...
Wait for the commercial retail bubble.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting so bad now that there's a lot.
Well, you know what? We're like the guy that falls off the Empire State Building and about halfway down says, so far, so good.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with
you
that.
You know, hey, well, the shelves at Costco are stocked. There's 500 channels on cable TV. There's porn on the internet. There's cheap food. There's, you know, cartoon movies with Marvel characters. Hey, what's the complaint about? You know?
I like that.
Disney marching us to the darkness.
Yeah, that new Star Wars came out today or yesterday. Hey, I life is really super good.
Yeah, everything's fine. Yeah.
Well, you look at the coming commercial retail collapse that's going on, and the case that just occurred where a judge ruled that a corporation could not close stores in several shopping malls because they could better afford to absorb the loss than the shopping malls could.
That's great.
Yeah, everybody knows they're philanthropists, owners of shopping malls.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like CalPERS basing their new strategy on their, you know, last year they announced its environmental, social, and government's 5-year strategic plan that's based on, you know, social policies.
As a member of CalPERS, I resented that. it's crazy. And it, from another perspective, I mean, it was way, way back, because I started, you know, with ancient Greece and Rome and my training and my writing and sort of worked my way up. And it's very constant. It sounds trite, but it's very constant. When a people get to a certain level of wealth and comfort and leisure and freedom from hard work and freedom from the elements and freedom from disease and freedom from malnutrition, et cetera, where we've all been since World War II, basically.
We get complacent.
They get complacent, and they get corrupted in their expectations. And this historically unprecedented level of wealth, never existed before for this many people, becomes the bottom line.
Mm.
And now we got to have more. It can't just maintain. It has to improve, like all our iPhones have to improve. And that mentality in the world that we live in, and in a planet with other people who don't have what we have or believe differently than we believe, that is dangerous. That is the most dangerous affliction that can hit a people. And we're seeing it in Europe right now. We're seeing the consequences of that.
Yeah.
Because Europe is on the road to perdition. I mean, that's clear. By the way, I have a Encounter broadside just came out called The Fracturing of the EU. If anybody's interested in this, it's a short read, and it reprises a lot of the stuff I did in my 2006 book on Europe, Decline and Fall. This is going to be huge when this conflict over there, which we don't pay much attention to, hits the fan.
So that's going to be – now, you're saying the fracturing of the EU. Are you talking about the economic fracturing or the
– Everything.
Political, the whole nine, huh?
Yeah, everything. The economy, I mean, Germany's doing great because Germany's turned the EU into a German economic empire, mm-hmm. right? Germans are going to rule things, and if they have to do it just through the economy, they'll do it. And
well,
that's basically what's happened. You have Eastern Europe
one.
Who are still more religious, who are still – have a long memory of their occupation by Ottoman Muslims and do not want them coming into their country. They're fighting against the attempt to make them take immigrants. France's economy is the second largest in the EU since Britain left. They're facing some big headwinds, even worse than ours. They're not having kids. You know, the surest sign of a civilization's decline is when they stop reproducing. Because what they're really saying is that my life today and my level of comfort today is more important than the future of my country, the future of my civilization. Who cares, right? As long as I'm having a good time and I'm sitting in the cafe in Paris smoking cigarettes and talking about how stupid the Americans are, hey, it's all good, you know? And I see a lot of that same mentality. Fortunately, not as much as in Europe. We still have red state America, where a lot of what we're talking about is holding the line. But, you know, it's a question of how long through the coming years.
Yeah, how long does it stay held together? Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I think you're starting to see conservatism respread around the world too. I mean, some of these elections that have gone on
Austria, Hungary,
Austria,
Poland. That's what I'm saying. The Eastern Bloc there.
The
they're
rise
all,
of nationalism in
because
France
they lived under communism, didn't they? They lived first. They spent centuries under the boot heel of the Ottomans. Then they spent it under the boot heel of the Soviets. So they know what freedom and not having freedom is about.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of culture and the importance of your faith and the importance of these traditions and holding the people together, giving them something to fight and die for. When a people don't have anything to fight and die for, they become, they disappear or they become subjected to somebody who does know what's worth fighting and dying for. And I think that's the point we're at today.
Hey, Bruce, we do have a caller on the line that has a question for you. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. Hey, what I wanted to know is where can I get a read, The Fracturing of the EU? Is that on a website? Is that a book?
Amazon. Yep, I'm looking at it right now, Amazon.
Yeah, it's cheap, isn't it?
Yeah, it's only, like, I'm looking at it, it's...
$5, $4?
$6.99 for the paperback, and then $4.61 for the Kindle edition, so...
Oh, great,
yeah.
I'll get that. Hey, I want to know from Red real quick, where did they tell the anchor store they couldn't shut down in the mall? That's the first I heard of that.
It was actually Starbucks and offshoot, their Stevia stores or whatever, their tea stores, and they were going to shut down over 300 stores. And I believe something like 100 of those stores were in a commercial retail conglomerate owned by the same company that sued them to stop them from closing their stores because the retail market there could not handle the loss of those stores and would be detrimental to the mall itself. So the judge ruled that they had to keep those stores open because they were in a better position to absorb the economic impact.
So where do you get the info on that? Just Google it.
If you could call me at the office Monday, Nick, I can get it for you.
That sounds great.
I've got the list of it in my computer at the office. I don't have it on my computer with me.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Nick. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys, my wife's giving me the look, so.
It's time to go.
We hope you guys have been enjoying. Bruce Thornton, educator, author, writer, teacher. He's been with us, and we really appreciate it. You get his books online at Amazon.Prime and Amazon.com, and there you have it.
Thanks, guys.
You have a Merry Christmas, and
you
thanks.
You too, all of you. Thank
all
you.
Right.
Thanks,
all right.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so, I felt muffled there for a second, Bob. What was that?
Well, sometimes I have to turn, when the phone is turned up, I have to turn your volume down to compensate because the phone boosts. You as
oh,
well
no,
as the
it was
caller.
Muffled.
Hey, this is my show. I don't want to get muffled.
It was
okay,
so,
it's our show. I'm sorry.
Just a momentary thing after I hang up.
I know. I just felt a little.
Ain't no socialism here.
Yeah.
I have a whole bunch of new redneck Christmas music next year or next week.
If anybody ever wants to muffle you, it won't be me.
I felt muffled.
I'll leave it alone.
I get enough of that at home.
So I guess we need to let the listeners know, are we coming in next week?
I am. I have a whole list of Christmas holiday treats for everybody.
Christmas goodies.
And some music as well.
I've already been doing some homework on that. Ran across some new stuff this
Christmas
morning. I almost brought them in today, and I said, you know something? This is perfect for
Christmas next week. So it's up to you guys. You can come in or not. Otherwise, I'll play a bunch of good Christmas music.
And then what about the week after so we can let them know? Because everybody, you know, that would be New Year's Eve.
Oh, would it?
Yeah.
I'm not coming in on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
No.
How early do you start drinking?
I don't actually start drinking.
yeah, he does. He does once in a while.
I don't know if you can count having a drink as drinking. I guess that would be drinking a drink.
Well, I guess
I wouldn't count that as like drinking to get drunk. I don't drink.
I don't know. Are you going to be here next weekend on Sunday, Bob?
I will, yes.
Because it's Christmas Eve, so I was just wondering.
Bob's a trooper.
Well, I was just wondering if Carl was not allowed to come in.
To my knowledge, it's not a holiday. I will double check on that. But
Christmas Eve.
Monday is a holiday, Christmas Day.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
There's no such thing as holidays in this work.
Slackers.
Yeah.
back in the day when I first got into radio and everything was live 24/7, they were like, okay, take your choice. Do you want Thanksgiving, Christmas, or New Year's off? Because you got to work the other two.
Those are your choices. Pick one.
Yeah. Well, we got about 5 minutes, and I need to hit a couple of things here. One is, did you see the tweet on Eric Holt? Or are you looking at like we need to go to a break?
I can move it to the top of the hour if you have a lot of stuff to get in here in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I just had some stuff that I wanted to cover, but sure. You know, like California's war on guns expanding to ammunition on January 1st. We got that. We've got the Obama State Department.
Now, is that ammunition thing a law, or is that just kind of an impolite suggestion?
I believe it's a law, isn't it? Come the first, then
it depends on whether you call an illegal law lawful.
Right, that's true.
Tax reform bill is going to get passed here pretty quick. We'll go over that after the holidays are over. We're starting to.
Because we're not all sure what's going to occur in that. We know some of it, but not all of it yet, do we?
I don't have. No. We don't know exactly.
We are rapidly approaching 2018 election season. I think this is going to be a very interesting primary season.
I agree with that. I wanted to mention this. Eric Holder, he tweeted out. Speaking on behalf of the vast majority of the American people, Republicans in Congress before warned that any attempt to remove Bob Mueller will not be tolerated. Let me read this. These are BS attacks on him and his staff that are blatantly politically designed to hide the real wrongdoings, country, not party. That's from Eric Holder. Really?
Really? Yeah, exactly.
Now, this is Chris Perotto tweeting back. Weren't you the only attorney general in U.S. history to be held in contempt of Congress? And you don't speak for me or the vast majority of American people, you POS. Get back to your rat hole.
Yeah, which unfortunately is in California.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the time.
So I mean, how these guys, what we talked about, these arrogant, full of themselves, Eddie Munster-looking... I mean, Eric Holder? The guy should be choked.
Yeah, retired gun smuggler Eric Holder.
Yeah, retired Fast and Furious, retired, contempt of Congress, retired liar, shill, piece of garbage for the commander-in-chief. Really? And he speaks for all of the American people that this will not be tolerated if Bob Mueller's fired. Fire him, please! Good God.
There's a lot of people that could go with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just completely insane. I don't know what else we got on the table here, but it's just unbelievable, you know, the amount of arrogance, hubris, whatever you want to call it, that comes out of Washington, D.C., and this deep state, you know, bunch of... So, now we've got MSNBC... made payments to staffer after Chris Matthews is accused of sexual harassment. Jeez.
Really? What was his name?
I don't know. Hard to say. Who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Is that the guy that got a shiver up his leg when he heard Obama's name?
Yeah, I think it was. He had a ripple effect. It was a ripple effect. Yeah.
An amazing coincidence. It's Chris Matthews' birthday today.
Oh.
Happy birthday.
Happy frickin' birthday.
You Muppet.
You meat.
All right.
Oh, we've got an article in the Gateway Pundit of here's who's of the deep state, criminals, corruptors, and elites. That's a nice thing to go with your coffee in the morning.
All of the stuff that is exploding out of the FBI and the things that were really going on, I mean, there's piles of evidence. And at what point does our DOJ start to do something about it? At what point does Jeff Sessions do anything?
Oh, well, he
said... Yeah, that would be a miracle if he did anything.
He said that the text and all this stuff coming out could have an innocent explanation.
Like what?
It's like...
Sessions said that?
Yeah. On Friday. There could be an innocent explanation. Sometimes these things just get blown up out of proportion. And, yeah, you know, there's...
Sometimes colluding with other members of the Department of Justice and the FBI to defame, extort, and try to falsely impeach a president could have a perfectly innocent... Oh, wait, no, it can't.
In the meantime, George Takei is whining about Trump and the dirty cop Mueller. You know, Zulu on Star Trek.
Zulu.
Anyway, you've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties, truth over lies, you know the drill. And, yeah, have a Merry Christmas if we don't see you next week.
All right, you've been listening to KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
I'm Gordon Griffin. A five-county funeral procession has begun for a firefighter killed while battling the colossal wildfire that's still threatening homes in Southern California. An autopsy found Corey Iverson died from burns and smoke inhalation. Iverson's body is bound for a funeral home in San Diego where the 32-year-old was stationed. The fire has burned more than 700 homes and currently threatens communities in Santa Barbara County. The Associated Press has learned that an American soldier killed in an ambush in the